Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Charles Colson and Jack Eckerd's excellent book, Why America Doesn't Work, quotes these words from Daniel Yankelovich, a well-known American poster. A new breed of Americans born out of the social movement of the 1960s and grown into a majority in the 70s holds a set of values so markedly different from the traditional outlook that they promise to transform the character of work in America in the 80s. Page 51. Tragically, they did transform the character of work in America in the 80s and 90s and since. In many segments of American industry, there is a genuine crisis because dedicated workers are hard or impossible to find. Does that mean we no longer believe in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay? Although our work as bricklayers, farmers, merchants, and truck drivers may seem too mundane for God to be concerned about, you can rest assured that our work, whatever the nature of that work, matters to God. Why else would Paul tell the Colossians, "Whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord, and not unto man"? Colossians 3:23. The context of this command is for slaves to be diligent in working for their masters. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Colossians 3:22. While our nation no longer has slaves, for which we should thank God, the principles Paul outlines in these verses should govern all workers in relationship to their employers. Do not just work while the boss is watching, but work with sincerity of heart, even if you never see the boss. We should be concerned about pleasing our employers, but we must never forget that we are also working for God. My father taught us Claiborne children to work hard, whatever the task. When we work for our neighbors, whether picking strawberries or harvesting other crops, we had to give a full day's work for a full day's pay. If we failed to do so, he punished us for our behavior. As a result, and I do not say this boastfully, none of us Claiborne children has ever had any problems finding employment. We owe our diligence in working to the training and example we had at home. As my father got older, he loved to sit around and brag about how hard his children worked. I wanted to remind him, but never did, that working hard was not our choice. He and my mother deserved the credit for our work ethic, and I gladly and gratefully give them the honor they have earned. Some of the employment problems many modern companies face must have also been present in the early centuries of the Christian era. That would explain Paul's admonition to the Colossians, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men." Colossians 3:23. Even though our employers pay our salaries, we must remember that we are also working for the Lord. He knows our hearts and sees our every move. When we call in sick but are not sick, or steal from our employers, or work about 4 days for 5 days' pay, we are not fooling the Lord. He will hold us accountable for our failure and dishonesty. Are we not being dishonest when we do fail to make good employees? How would our economic world change if all of us followed the inspired advice Paul gave in Colossians and in Ephesians? The nation's economy is tied to the good or bad employees in commercial and industrial operations. If our failure to do good work results in inferior products and services, we have no right to complain when companies move their factories to Mexico or to some other foreign country. Besides, should we not follow the Lord's golden rule? "Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Matthew 7:12. If both employer and employee live by this rule, it would revolutionize the world of work. Thank you, and may God bless you.